This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
Yo, yo, what's poppin'?
Hey, hey.
We are back in the building.
What's good?
It's missed your girl, y'all last
Lady
week.
Free.
And by the way, we do own the rights to that music.
Okay, yes. Well, y'all listen, as I said, this is your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm your boy, Pastor Jay.
And we have a new host that has joined the team.
Yes, Too Real, Allie Too Real.
She is back, people. Yes. Allie Too Real.
And yes. Lord knows she is too real.
She is real. Yes. And we are glad to have you as a part of the team.
And I'm glad to be here. Thanks for joining everybody. Yes. Tune into the show.
We have Too Real and Too Free.
Yes. Two and two.
Yeah.
Two and two equals eight.
Yes. So we double the energy.
Two plus two equals eight, y'all. So look, we're here. We are back, man. We missed y'all last week. You know, we want you to keep my brother, Pastor David Wright. They were supposed to be on last week, but they had death in their church family. Mm-hmm. So we're praying. Actually, keep me in your prayers as well. Had death in my family. My cousin was 41 years old, and he passed away in his sleep. So keep the Moore family in your prayers. My good friend and brother, Bishop Jeffrey Conyers, passed away. A real legend in New York, so it's city. So just
and
keep.
And then what, about 2 days after we found out about that, I found out my first cousin passed away.
Yeah,
in a motorcycle accident. So,
man.
It's a lot going on.
But God knows best, man. Yes. And we're just trusting God that his perfect will be done in all of our lives.
Absolutely.
And we do know, and this is what keeps us going, is that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. We're just excited for today's topic, y'all.
Yes.
We thank God for Too Real being with us, man.
Yes.
And we just kind of giving y'all a little opportunity to come on and tune in. But we are here. We are excited. And we're glad.
Yes. Let's get it going. Let's get it popping.
So listen, today's topic, y'all, truly, man, there's been a lot of hate crime that's been going on period. And it ain't just in Houston. It's really been all over the world. And we kind of want to shed light, man, and try to help our people out, man, and see how we can spread more love and get rid of some of this hate. So we want to dedicate today's topic on, you know, about putting the love. What's the topic today, babe?
It's called How Can We Lift
What's up, Dave?
The Love Over the Hate.
Yes.
We want to lift love over the hate.
That's right.
Yes.
My brother David Battles is on. What's up, bro?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna follow you this time.
Look what Too Real done did. She gonna follow the day.
Hold on.
All right, so again, now thank you. Whoa, I don't even, wow.
See, well,
that caught me off guard.
Whoa.
So listen, So, to, like we said, there's been a lot of hate crime that's going on. And I really think that, I really believe it comes from just a level of anger. It comes from a level of internalized fear and internalized anger. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you're angry, it portrays in your behavior and it portrays in your action, because you have this balled up emotion, you have this ball up feeling that is festering in the inside. And when it sits in the inside, I promise you it grows, because as long as you are not allowed to get it out, it grows on the inside. So it, you know, and it causes us to do some things that really just, and just lately, man, you know, it's just been crazy just to watch the news, man. And you know what, man? You know, we want to play this little clip for y'all just to so y'all can kind of see exactly what we're talking about, man. And this just got to stop, man. We want to share this little clip with y'all that we yes. found.
Outside this Dollar General store in Jacksonville, Florida, after police say a self-proclaimed white supremacist using an AR-15 style rifle and handgun opened fire, killing three black people.
I urge us all not to look for sense in a senseless act of violence.
The suspect, identified by police as 21-year-old Ryan Christopher Palmetter, firing off 11 rounds, hitting 52-year-old Angela Michelle Carr's Kia while she sat in a parking lot, killing her. Authorities say he then walked in, shooting and killing 19-year-old employee Anolt Joseph Laguerre Jr. and 29-year-old Gerald Gallion, the father of a 4-year-old girl.
She's so young. And all she knew was her dad.
The gunman texted his dad to go into his room, where police say he found a last will and testament and suicide note. The family calling police, but their rampage was over after about 10 minutes. The shooter taking his own life as officers arrived on scene. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's a leading candidate for president, was booed by residents in Jacksonville as he spoke about the shootings.
Florida stands with the community. Help is on the way.
Some saying his policies and rhetoric attacking diversity in the state are in part to blame for creating an atmosphere of intolerance.
Respectfully, Governor, he was not a scumbag. He was a racist.
Investigators say Palmetter was involuntarily held for 72 hours at a mental health facility as a minor in 2017, but that he had no prior criminal history and legally purchased his weapons. Authorities say he had writings containing racist and hateful ideology. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Wow.
Wow.
He said that he was not a scumbag, he was racist. And I say he was angry.
Yep.
And the thing is, and I say that to say this, because I really, you know, today I was just doing some study on what love is. Yep. And a lot of times we really don't even understand what love is.
Yeah.
Because if we knew what love is, then we'll know how to spread it. Let me give y'all an example. And then because love is like a, you can use it in different words. Like, mm-hmm. prime example, like if you say, I need some bread, right? Now, if you say that word could be taken in a couple of forms.
Yes.
Like you can think of, if you don't really clarify what it is, you'll think it's either money or you'll think it's food.
Yeah.
You're saying, well, I need some bread. But the same thing goes with love. Yes. And I really don't understand. I really think that if we really understood what love is and the breakdown of what love is, then we'll understand how to give it out and how to spread it to people that are angry.
And just like you said, I mean, This was a young man. I mean, he wasn't old. He was a young kid.
Exactly.
You know, and a lot of times you're wondering, like, how does his parents not see this festering within this child? I mean, is what in the past have they even were aware of that could have prevented this? But sometimes parents cannot prevent what their children do. We can't watch our children 24 hours a day because we have to go to work. We have to provide. Everything is expensive today. So you usually put it upon like God, you know, protect my child, look after my child.
Yeah.
But you know, if somebody is a mature adult, like this young man, an old young man was, he went in, he bought a gun. And the issue is he never had any criminal history. So right. How can you really pinpoint when someone's going to attack based on hate? That's what we need to try to figure out. We need to come up with something where we can have more love for our children and notice and be more aware of what they're, be more involved in their life.
dig, ask questions. You know, he's on a computer four, 10 hours a day. Hey, what you doing? Be nosy, be involved. Mm-hmm. That way we can try to help or decrease the hate.
That's great. And that could cause some of the anger, because sometimes it could be whether the dad or the mom wasn't there, or that's the fact true. That they were there, but they still wasn't there. Because you got parents that are in the home that are still not there.
That's like not you said, showing that love and affection not showing and attention. That love. Yeah.
Because that's a form of love. Yes. I mean, that's not the main love, because they're, you know, according to scripture, there are different types of love. But there's a love, I think it's called Stelios love, that is really geared toward your parents. You know what I'm saying? That's a family love. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, if you really understand, sometimes we're closer to our friends than we are to our own family.
That's true. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So some things that we'll tell our friends that we won't tell, you know what I'm saying? We won't tell it to our family.
That's because, true. That's true.
Because there's just that love is just kind of, it's different. You know, there's that trust level even for your family. Now, I believe you have the love for your family there, but it ain't the same as your friend, you know, as you would tell your friend, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I believe it's important that we understand the difference between love. Like you can say, I love a cat, or I love this type of food, or I love how you do this, or I love, see, there's different ways to express that love. But when you have the ultimate love, there's an ultimate love that and this love, the difference between this love and those other type of loves is that this love is a person.
Yes.
This love is actually God.
Yes.
So when you understand that when you know that this type of love, then you know how to kind of give it out the way it's supposed to be. You have the characteristic of God. So that's the difference of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
and I think I agree with you wholeheartedly, Pastor Jay. I just think we need to stop spreading hate and start spreading love.
That's right.
Because everybody is going through something. It doesn't matter your economic status, your age, your race.
Yeah.
We all deal with different things in our lives differently. But our thing now should be, how can we love thy neighbor? How can we check on one another? How can we get more involved to help prevent the hate? And then when you take the whole aspect of social media with all these different little conspiracy groups out there, and these young people go and they join these groups because they don't have friends, because maybe they were bullied in school. Mm-hmm. There's something driving them. But then when they get in these groups, they feel like they're loved and they're cared about. And then that's when they go and they take action like this, because they become brainwashed. Mm-hmm. So the goal is, we have to be more aware of what our children are doing. Even when we work with people, you have people that will go to work. There was an incident with a guy who worked at the post office. They fired him. He went back. He ended up killing people at his post office. He hated them that much, or he was that angry where he went back and took out those people like that.
Yeah.
And we really got to recognize that this is becoming an epidemic, the hate, and it's really rising in Houston. I mean,
and you know, it's not just hate among race. It's not just hate among what a woman is and what a woman isn't. It's, if you really look at it, you know how people say it's the little things. Mm-hmm. So as I'm sitting here listening, I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, it started as a little thing.
Yes.
It didn't start as a massive act of hate.
Mm-hmm.
It started as a little thing. And if we look around and if we pay attention to what's happening on social media, if we pay attention to what's happening in our schools, if we pay attention just period, we'll see that there are little acts of hate happening all around, to the point where, like now we were saying the other day,
now it's becoming like it's a norm, like a fad.
Yeah, and if you can't take it, then it's, you better be mad, you know, and people pick at, or people pick you apart and then act as though it's something wrong with you, the reason why you can't take, or the reason why you're responding or reacting to them coming at you in a way that's negative, in a way that's not loving, a way that's not going to help you. So how are we all contributing
to stop the hate,
to the hate? How can we start lifting the love above the hate? Those are some things that I'll be thinking about.
You know what? And I know that we see you know, this hate crime. But let's be honest and let's be real here.
Come on.
Their time, I mean, we are the most, and this is not a racial state, and I pray that it's not, but I believe as African-American, we are the prominent race. So I believe if we stop the crimes and the hate crimes within our own community.
That's number right. one. You that's where I believe it's yeah. the black on black
yeah,
crime.
Because
just
we taking from each other yes. and we robbing
yes.
from each other
right. yes.
and we stealing from each other and we fighting each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, if we can get past us, then I believe we'll set the pattern. You know what I'm saying? I think it will start there. Then we'll set the pattern for how everybody else would treat us. Because
or how
I believe,
everybody else views
yeah,
us.
Yeah, or how everybody else views us. You know what I'm saying? Because the other day, I was in my parking garage. So this young lady was very upset because the security guard was actually doing his job.
Right.
He was doing his job. And she was fussing at him. And my friend trying to get in and you... And she was just fussing. She left, went back, came back, fussing at him again. So, you know, the security guard started going back and forth with them. They called the cops and everything. So I just happened to, because, you know, I actually really like the security guard because he does his job. A great job. But what I did was I went up to the young lady and the only thing I did was say, you know, hey, sweetheart, I love you. You know, I mean, I want to see my black people honestly really thrive and stop acting like this. So I just want you to know that I love you. So when I told her that, it was like she calmed down.
Oh, that's great.
It was like, you know what, you're right. You know what, you're right. So again, I believe that that's why Scooter on here said, we love because he loved us.
That's
he
right.
sent
that's
his son
example.
To die. That's the example.
Yeah.
Because he loves us, it's our job to love. And yeah. and if you don't know how to love, then you don't know God.
And speaking of the example, it's like we're acting like the culture, we're acting like the things that we see in society is the example. We haven't come to grips yet to actually put out there that the true example is what Scooter says here. We love only because he loved us first.
Exactly.
He had to show us how to do it. And the thing is, it's not just predominantly the black race.
No, it's I will
because
I will
when you think
that.
About
yes.
the fact that this young man that we just saw in the video was not black, but he hated black people. In another video, it said he wrote letters and stuff. And in his letters, he said he was targeting specifically black people because he hates black people. That came from somewhere. The seed
he
was
got
planted
that from somebody.
Somewhere.
And
yeah.
he probably got that at a very, very young age.
Right.
A lot of times, hate is spilled in the household.
In the
okay?
household.
So when these kids, even when they're very young, they go to school and they're acting out toward other races. That's because that stuff's taught at home.
It's taught, yeah.
But at the same time, racism doesn't have a color. Yes, it may happen predominantly, they say, in the black community. But if you look at Orlando, when that guy went in and killed all those people at the gay bar, he was targeting gay men.
Right.
And all those people that had relatives with them that were not gay at all,
exactly.
they still died. So when people have hate in them, it doesn't matter. It's what fuels them to attack certain people for their own personal reasons. And
hate
that
is hate.
Needs to stop.
Yeah.
Hate is hate. And right now, it's based on your sexuality, your national origin, your color. I mean, anything.
Yeah.
If hate is out here and we
now,
need to work on it.
And now it's also based on just simple, your own opinion.
Yes.
You can have a different opinion than someone else.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, hate is coming your way. Sometime in groves, you can't make a simple statement. I was talking to some friend girls of mine and we were talking about the Keke Palmer and her, the father of her child and how that little incident happened. And I was saying, but why did they have to destroy him?
Yeah.
Just because he made a statement that society did not like. They literally came after him and he became everything that was negative in their own eyesight.
Yes.
It's like they took a moment in this man's life and made it who he was.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was, my friend told me, she said, because they're celebrities and they're in the limelight and you have to expect that when you're my thing is, when did they stop becoming human?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter what status you're in.
Yes.
you still have feelings.
It still bothers you.
Yes. That's why some celebrities still commit suicide. That's why rich, some people with money, we think it's about,
it's a lot of,
you
people
know,
with money.
They're killing themselves and all of this stuff. They're not happy because they're human first before they have status.
And but, then they get to that high status and then they get the pressure to be something a lot of times that these celebrities are not.
Right.
They put on like this persona to make people think, oh, well, I'm this and I'm that. But behind closed doors, they're nothing like they are alone. So then when they get on these social media, they build these platforms, and then people start commenting on their actions that they're taking. Then they want to go and hide themselves in shelter because they're like, oh, they're being mean to me. But you open that door. You open that social media site for them to have access to everything about you. So then if that's the case, then maybe you need to do something different and not put your whole life on social media where you're going to get people commenting.
That.
And you got to be strong. You got to have a connection with God to where what they're saying should have no impact on you and affect you whatsoever.
That's true.
I think I just want to break something down real quick, y'all. I think the fact that we have this attitude to mind your business and keep going so you don't get involved.
Right.
So the thing is, what we do is we miss our opportunity, even as men and women of God. We miss our opportunity to change somebody's mentality or change what's in somebody's heart.
Right.
Prime example, when you go to the scripture, the church of Corinth, Corinth stands for corrupt. But what was going on in there, they were worshiping this God called Eros.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Eros was a god of erotic. So what they would do was they would get a partner because there was a lot of prostitution that was going on.
Right.
So they would get with a partner and worship this god of Eros, which would mean they would have sex. So they were doing this inside of, this was the all this corrupting and the sin that was going on in this church.
Right.
So
what Paul did was,
instead of saying, I'm going to leave this alone, he went there and he preached the word of God, or he gave them what they needed to help change what they were used to worshiping. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I believe if we can really connect and we can really do, and it's not like saying that we're not going to suffer persecution because what he did. But the whole point is he did what God asked him to do and to save these people who were really literally a mess.
Yes. And that's how it is today. I mean, the world today is very, very crazy. I mean, even when you go back to if you look at the school situation, I used to go to school. Our parents could bring any kind of food to school. School doors were open. Mm. And now with all the mass shootings and the hate that's happening at these schools, now parents are afraid to even put their kids in school. A lot of parents are pulling kids out. Like if you look at HISD, a lot of those kids are not in school. You look at Cypher ISD, you look at all the different school districts in the city of Houston and all over, you see that the actual attendance has decreased by like 30%. That is huge.
Right.
These kids need to be in school. They need to be learning, and they need to have that kind of love coming within the schools because the hate is real. And as a parent, we need to protect our children, but at the same time, we have to come together as a community to show that kind of love.
But can y'all see it if we really pay attention? Mm-hmm. First, it's this whole thing where, okay, we had COVID. It put a lot of fear in us, fear that we don't even realize that we have in us. Like, we became so fearful of people coughing, catching a cold, germs, and we became so fearful, right? And then if we pay attention to it now, we're fearful of taking our kids to school. We're fearful of this. The spirit of fear comes with a level of hate.
But that also comes with a higher up trying to control the people.
What do you mean by that?
So what I mean by that is, what I'm saying is, like, when people, like, in the Bible, you know, there was no major government in the Bible. People just followed God, and they did what he said, and they were able to live their lives and come together in different groups and communities, but everybody spoke the same thing. Now, it's different. You got this group, this group, this group. You got Baptist, you got evangelists, you got Catholic, you got all these different religions, and people are like, hey, who do I go to which religion should I go to get to learn the word to help me within the hate. The world is confused because every single group is talking about the same thing. The Almighty, the one person you can go to. So my thing is, if we just all come together and stop separating the church and we all serve the same God and we all preach the same thing and show the love for everyone within our heart, then the world is going to be a much, much better place.
We need some more Pauls in the, because Paul, no matter, he went where it was hard, and he went to these places.
Yeah, we don't want to go where it's hard no more. We don't want to go where
Yeah, we don't want to go where it's hard. Yeah. Everything has to be nice, easy.
Oh, yeah,
or to be painted the picture. But the thing was, in the Old Testament, because there were no kings, there was a government that was put in place.
Yes.
And the only reason why it was put in place was because they were doing whatever.
They were doing whatever.
But before before they were doing whatever, there was none of that.
Yeah.
That's when they started putting, because they were doing whatever. Mm-hmm. That's when the laws and all this stuff have
to
happen.
But
before that,
they wanted to do.
People that were following God's plan, none of that was happening. Mm-hmm. People were listlessly following those plans, but we got so much going on within ourselves and just individuals that the world has just become just like a melting pot.
But did you understand what you just said? You basically said because of the fact that everybody was here, one person was doing this, one person was believing this.
Yes.
It all boils down back down to the fact that there's a kingdom citizenship in the people of God.
Yes.
There is a certain, you remember back in the day, they'd be like, you know what? I don't care what your friends do, but this is how we do. And it used to be like that. That's how it is in the kingdom of God. It's like in the kingdom, he says, regardless of what everybody else out there is doing in this house, in this kingdom, this is how we're supposed to act. This is how we're supposed to live. This is what we're supposed to do. And it's very clear how we're supposed to do this thing, but because we're not actually understanding that as a king, I'm a king's kid, I'm a child of a king. So it's like my mentality is supposed to be different from what everybody else feels or what everybody, I'm supposed to think different.
Yes.
He says, I'm a peculiar people, I'm a royal priesthood. And it's like, it takes those type of mentalities, those Pauls, like what Pastor Jay says, it takes those people to actually stand firm in what it is to love.
Yes.
But you got to look at it like this, babe. And let's be honest. Let's really, truly be honest here. You got, first of all, you got angry people raising angry people.
Right.
You got hurt people raising people out of their hurt.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. You got upset people who are raising their kids. Well, I'm not going to let them go through. So, you know, so what we're doing is we're not even making the behavior. We're not even making the behavior that we're actually allowing them to do. Because, I mean, be honest, I see some of these kids. I've never seen kids talk back like they, I couldn't do that.
Right.
I couldn't
talk back. Allowed.
I wasn't allowed because I get pop right in my mouth. Yep. You know what I'm saying? For saying something that I had no business saying to another adult. But today is because, and I guess, I don't know why people feel like, well, this was the thing that really hurt me. Because this is how we take it. So now because we feel like it hurt us, we don't want to take our kids through that. So we don't discipline our kids.
We make excuses
for their behavior. You know what I'm saying? We allow them to do, they trying to find themselves. It's like, no, teach it into them.
And if we're not careful, the next generation is going to suffer even more because of the fact.
Well, they're suffering already right now.
I know they're suffering now, but that's why I say even more.
Yeah.
When they do alarms, you know, in the schools, I mean, they're practicing drills just as much as they go to school. Because they have drills to practice. Say,
intruder
okay,
alerts.
Yes.
And all kind of different.
When they can be in the classroom learning. But no, with all the hate and everything going on, now these little kids are scared. A little girl, we did a drill where I actually work part-time. And a little girl came back and she goes, oh, my God, I'm shaking. She's only in, like, kindergarten.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be the case, you know?
It's a fear that's being instilled in our children, in us, and it's showing itself as anger, it's showing itself as
hate.
It's showing itself as pain, and God says, I didn't give you that spirit. And the reason why I believe he was trying to warn us, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, because he understands what fear comes with. And because he created us as our creator, yes, he knows what we're made of and how we're built.
Because he built us to love.
Come on.
Period.
And if we allow something else to come in and infiltrate that, then we have situations where we have a 21-year-old young man whose life is over right now. He was in a mental hospital at one point, and then he got out, and then he came and he has this hate for a different race and all of these different things. But if we realize what's really happening, it's not a battle of flesh and blood. It never has been a battle of flesh and blood.
It wasn't just race. There was something more going on with this.
It's a spiritual warfare that's happening.
I said this in an episode that we did, but it was so true. And I looked at it when that guy, because he had time to point the gun.
Right.
He had time to point it.
Yeah.
And
he knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing.
11 rounds in that one car.
11 rounds, man.
That one car. I believe still,
like I said,
that's pure hate.
That at that point, you can never, but I just truly believe, because I was talking to somebody, I was at my boy house, and this guy said, how could you stop somebody from shooting the gun and holding that point blank? And I was like, he said, there's a way.
There's a way. Because if you look at the young man that went into that grocery store and he shot all those people, and there was a gentleman who worked at the very front of the store.
Uh-huh.
He happened to be off that day, but that young man had been scouting that store, but the black man that was actually at the front would always talk to the kid each and every day, and he hadn't done anything then, but that black man that day happened to take off, and that's when he actually executed his plan. So I really believe that had that man been there, because obviously that man would talk to him, he would see him regularly, he could tell he was kind of, when they did an interview, that he was, something wasn't right, that the kid was going through some things, maybe that could have made a difference.
Love.
I believe, like the guy was telling me, he said, if you were at gunpoint, how you stopped them from pulling the trigger, is you tell them you love them.
Yep.
Tell them you love them. I've seen this girl wasn't holding a gun, but it totally calmed her whole spirit when I gave her love, when I told her that I love her. It totally calmed her spirit.
Because that's what's missing.
Because that is what's missing. Yeah. I believe, I just cold-hearted believe it, that you give them God.
She was angry. I mean, then she left and she came back. So there's something going on that maybe she hasn't had that kind of love that you gave her in just a short period of time of her life.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I love you. And that changed her whole demeanor.
Changed the whole demeanor. Yeah. I mean, it just like, she was like.
But do y'all see how much hate can be so super massive? Yeah. But one little drop of love. That's how potent love is. So imagine if somebody decides on social media, let's say for instance, you know what? I'm not going to be the one to add to the hate that y'all doing about this particular topic. I'm going to change the narrative. And then somebody else decides, you know what? I'm going to change the narrative too. Instead of chiming in.
All it takes is just one person.
We can start that love.
To change the negative remarks into something positive.
Lift love over the hate.
Others follow.
Lift love over the hate revolution. Say?
Love covers a multitude of sins.
It covers.
So I believe when it says it's covering that multitude, that I believe is really talking about everything that's festering inside.
A multitude is a lot.
Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes, think about it. We all have points in our lives where we're just like stuck in traffic. Frustrates you at the job. Your husband frustrates you. Your friend frustrates you. Your kids frustrate you. We're not going out buying guns and killing everybody that frustrates us. It's a choice. Your actions, all that matters. You got to really think clear, like, how should I respond to this situation? But when you have love in your heart and you can step back and say, you know what? What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
I ask myself that a lot of times when I react to certain things now, I do put that in my mind. What would Jesus do? And when I say that to myself, it makes me respond so different than I normally would before I really gave my life to Christ 5 years ago. You know, I was a whole different person. I would react so quick, so fast. And even I would say a couple of years ago, I was different. You change with each and every season.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point, is to always grow and to learn to love more and learn to just be your better self.
And every time we have these, and every time we have these big protests,
And what just happened?
I heard a sound in my head. Oh. It's like, you know, okay, but we'll talk after that. Okay, I got you.
Wow. Every time there's like white against black, every time there's a particular man against woman
or
any of the anything against anything, there's more division.
Or people against the gay community.
Whatever it is, really big.
Yes.
Whatever this is
just
against
love people. Just love
this.
People.
If there's an against in the middle of the two situations, then what we're doing is we're causing that against is actually division.
Yeah.
And God is not for division. He's for unity.
Come on, unity.
That's causing a whole lot of the reasons why we can't
get
along.
Nobody is better than anybody. No race. Your economic
status, none of that.
The same way you got to that economic status is the same way God will bring you back down to have a zero economic status.
I got some young clients, man. The other day, God came in. He had to be about 15, 16 years old. He had an ankle monitor on his.
Oh, wow.
And I immediately shook you, kind of like, wait. It shook me and let me know that something was missing in his life.
Because
for you to be this young. So I started talking to him and he was really opening up to me. He got caught next week. I told him I was going to go with him to court.
I'm going to go with him to court. Jay, that's awesome.
Yeah, I said, I'm going to go with
just
you to court.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, but stuff like that lets you know that you're not by yourself.
Yes.
You don't have to filter and deal with these emotions and deal
all
with this
yourself.
Anger by
that
yourself.
Awesome. Right.
Because so, and, but if we all had this mentality to get involved with our young men,
somebody has to get involved.
Right. Yeah. I get in their business because I want to know how you feeling. I want to know what you're thinking because God gives me the knowledge and the heart to help them filter through what they're feeling. A lot of them say, my daddy ain't dead. He ain't nothing. My mama don't let me in. But it's like, you know, the things that we go through, we don't realize what if as parents.
Yeah.
We don't realize
how it affects the kids.
And,
no,
and sometimes kids get into stuff at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, but I just don't think that's possible. How you can be at the wrong place at the wrong time if your intent is not to be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
And that's,
I mean,
and
it's
you know
possible.
When you go back, it's the same thing.
But when I'm talking as a young person, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but that's the same thing where they try to play a lot of the white and the black, especially with the police and the black community. The media tries to display that, but think about it. If you are, the policemen, they're going to do their job. Mm. They're not shooting to play. They're trained to shoot to kill. They don't have training in mental health. They don't have training in dealing with someone that's going through problems in their life, who don't have the love and support. They don't have training in that. So if you're at somewhere and you happen to have a gun on you and you happen to know that the police would do something and you just start like get in your car and start flying, you're going to get the police like, hey, what's going on? That police is going to follow you, right?
Mm.
Then you get out of the car and you got your gun and you shoot at the police and you get killed. Think about it. You put yourself in that situation and the media plays that so big today to try to make it seem like it's always cops against black people or it's blacks against whites. When really, none of that's the case.
Yes.
They just want to highlight the division. The media wants to display division. They're the ones sitting out there creating the negative energy between cops and people and black and white and race and all that. And we got to really come together and change that.
Yeah.
I think sometimes because that shooting that happened in Memphis when they beat that dude up.
Those cops did that, it was five black cops.
You wouldn't expect that.
You like what?
But today all five officers were indicted,
and they're gonna come down with their sentence.
But there's no way that could have happened unless there was some hate there.
There was hate because when I was watching, I said, babe, something's going on right there. The main cop had dated that girlfriend. I knew it was something.
Yeah. I knew it was something
it was her
though at ex-boyfriend. That moment. Right.
And when he realized he pulled him over, he drove for FedEx. So the guy had already been targeting him. And finally, when he was able to get him and pull him over, that's when it just spiraled. But it was because the guy had hate because he was dating his girlfriend.
His ex.
His ex.
Not that, that she, right. not that they were together, yeah. but it was his ex. Come
right.
on, man.
That's right. That's
but listen, all we can't
start it.
I mean,
just, hey, and that got, all could have been prevented. And then what did his friends do? Well, that's my boy. We got to stick together. Now their life has just changed in a matter of
and their family's lives.
So we got Pearly Crane on. She said it takes a village to raise a child.
Mama Pearly.
And we got Ash Mom. Ward. She said, hey, Alisa. Ash Ward. Ash Ward is on. We thank you. So listen, y'all.
Elsa.
Hey, Elsa.
We got G. Roberts on the line. Keisha. Hey, Keisha.
Keisha
we got
Scooter.
Jaquetta
we
on
see,
the line. Tanisha.
Yes.
Mia.
Yes.
Sandra. I'm
Sandra.
Just going down the list.
Yes,
all
we got
my family and friends.
That's
yes.
right. That's
the show.
Right. Come on,
I
Joe.
Think hate is not the best power, and more love is importantly for humanity. That's right.
Amen.
It's going to take love.
Amen.
It's going to take love. And when, love, when we give love, we give them God. When we give love, we introduce them to God.
Yeah.
Because that's what God is.
They're starting to take God out of the world. We got to bring it back.
We got to bring God back.
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
We got to bring it back.
In the house. Forget
it. In the house.
That's where it starts from.
Because it is everywhere. You know what's so crazy? They say, oh, they took prayer out of the schools. But listen, if it's in your heart, they can't take it.
Amen. But at the same time, if you got these kids going to school that don't have parents that give them prayer, and the school could still bring it out and just put it out there, that's still gonna make that kid think, "Hey, what is prayer?" And they can do their own research.
You're right.
So it's still putting
that's awesome
it out there.
But the whole point, the whole perspective is, if you give them love, even in the school.
Yep.
If you give them love,
oh yeah,
I promise you.
Yes,
and the right
you
kind of
showing
love.
Them.
And let me tell you, I seen it just last week. I was in the cafeteria with a little little kid. He was eating, and there was a little kid that was by himself. Okay, sitting at the table by himself. I just don't believe in isolating children, because when you do that, I feel like it makes kids feel like they're not worthy to be a part of a group.
Mm.
Then you're festering that isolation. You're festering, am I good enough? That all messes with the kid's mental psyche. So the teacher comes over, and the little kid throws his salad and lettuce and everything at her. And then she tries to chase him. The little boy was fast. I was like, he needs to be running track.
Yes.
he running up and down. But I go over there, and I get down on the floor with him, and I say, hey, talk to me. What's going on? How can we make your day better? He said, I'm just having a rough day. I said, oh, it's okay. We love you. Come on, let me help you. That little boy got up.
Yeah.
Grabbed my hand, went with me over there, picked up all that lettuce, got in line, and followed direction. She didn't have to be aggressive with him.
All she had
to do was just show that little boy love and not push him away from the group and isolate him. And I never seen that kid a day of my life. But because he felt the love and the compassion that I was having for him, and I got under the table with him and told him everything was going to be okay, he did great. And that's, I didn't have to step in. But I knew as a mom myself, that was the right thing to do.
Right.
Yes. So listen, y'all, this is dope. But I want to take these last couple of minutes.
Okay.
We had a little event last Thursday, and we dealt with some questions, you know, some relationship questions. And I want to go to
That's what's missing, too.
What?
People they don't know how to relate to each other.
Yes. One of the questions that we talked about that was asked was, If you feel like the respect is gone, how do you still interact in the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
I want y'all to answer that real quick. And y'all can answer that out there in TV land.
Say that one more time.
If you feel the respect is gone in the relationship.
How do you get that back?
If you feel that you're not being respected in a relationship, how do you love the person you're in a relationship with?
Well, I think that's really hard, because that's going to pivot back. If you lose respect, it's because that person's obviously doing something to you or affecting you in a way where you're festering hate, anger. And when you have that where you're like, I can't stand that person's doing this to me, or even if that person is doing something, whereas you can't get a hold of them on the phone, they don't answer your calls, they're being too busy, they're not really pouring into you as a person, you're going to start to doubt yourself, and then you're going to start to have animosity, anger. Sometimes you even build hate for people. So you just got to connect with that person and just, I think, express how you feel. Tell the person how you feel. If you don't express yourself and you don't communicate your actions, then how are you going to get anywhere as a couple?
I believe, great answer. I believe that there is definitely a level of communication that's missing.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because if my wife says something to me and I felt a certain way by what she said would may not be, you know, the meaning that she gave it to me in, but because there's something inside
of me,
it triggered what I was already feeling. So instead of me communicating to her to get an understanding of what she meant or, you know, what actually was she saying, then I go straight into my feelings. You know what I'm saying? So, again, if I don't talk to her and get an understanding, that means, you know, I'm not going to understand and I'm going to stay in my feelings, and definitely it's going to be hard to love somebody when you're in your feelings.
What about, okay, so imagine, right.
Because a lot of us be in our feelings way too much.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But can y'all imagine that let's just take it in a whole nother perspective, how adults feel when they're, let's say, in a classroom as a teacher, and you're not being respected by the kids, and there's nothing you can do to get them to respect you because there's so many things that you are not allowed to do.
But what's happening
anymore today?
But the problem, what I think, I watched this author, and she called it differentiated learning.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teachers, when they're teaching our children, they're barking orders. They want to be authoritative. Kids don't learn like that. Get over here. Do this. Do that. Be quiet. No, you need to get the kids involved. You know, when it comes to writing rules for the classroom, okay, you guys make the rules. Next thing you know, they said, be kind, be nice. They're writing it. You're putting it on the board. When the one kid sees the other kid be bad, they say, hey, you better follow rule number two and be kind. But they help write those rules. When the kids get more involved and they know that teacher's not coming at them in an authoritative way, they feel more like they can let their guard down and be more interactive
but
with the teacher.
But why would kids have a guard up in that regard? I've worked with kids for 27 years.
Well, when the teachers, some teachers can be aggressive,
but there's
now
so many that are not.
Yeah.
There's so many that are being disrespected because they're not, the kids aren't being taught to respect.
Yeah, yeah. But that comes from home.
That comes
if,
from
if
home.
If you're not being taught
so
to
imagine
love and
that.
Be kind, and you're taught to be angry and express hate for your teacher, then
and not even just just being taught to express hate for your teacher, that too, but just not being taught to respect adults,
but
not being taught to be respectful.
Yes,
period.
But if the kid has love and surrounded with the word of God, with his parents, because it starts with the parents. When the parents love God, like we're supposed, like God wants us to,
right?
Those kids are going to get that same love from their mom and dad. And when they go to school, they're going to show that same love to their peers around them and that teacher.
And that's
this
what
is
we
why
need to
I
get
say
back
we need
to.
We need to put God back into the schools.
Yeah. We need to get back to that.
God needs to be in the homes.
Everywhere. God needs to be everywhere.
That's where ministry starts. That's the whole makeup of the whole thing too. Like there's nothing like being in love out of obligation. Yeah. And this is what we learn in the homes.
Yep, that's true.
Because
obligation means because you're doing this for me, so I'm obligated
to
love
that.
You.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're in obligation, then you're still not allowed to be who you
that's
are.
That's right.
You're
because
not allowed
you're
to be
for,
yourself.
You're yeah. doing it to get praise.
You're doing it because I feel like this is something
I have to
do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So loving out of obligation is... I think that is the result of somebody you like.
Yes.
Like if you like somebody and you know and it's like, oh, I really like this person or this person is my friend, and you start and you get into a relationship with somebody you like as a friend, that love is actually an obligated love. Same thing. Yes. It's an obligated love because wow.
Break that down.
Huh?
Break that down.
Because here's an example. Right, let me give an example.
Please.
If you now, this person helped you in times of a situation.
Right.
You know, you've been out there and you've been doing some things and you really needed some help.
Right.
And this person been a friend to you
uh-huh.
and helped you through these situations. Then being that friend and you feel obligated
to
give this love to this person
right.
who has been a friend to you.
Who's been there.
Who's been there.
Yeah, in but hard times.
In hard times. Right, exactly. Right. Through the rough time. Yeah. But you can't pray with this person. You can't be yourself with this person. You still can't. There's still not a level of agape love in it. There's this obligated love that we are experiencing in our society. This love is obligated. Wow. So because it's obligated, then it's not genuine.
Because you're doing something for me, and I got to do something for you.
So now what you're doing is, now you're getting involved with people that you're looking because you've been this person, or you've been this person done to.
Well, just like you said, with the young man that's 21, he obviously was connecting with groups online that was, what they call it, which were people that were supporting his support for hate. For mm-hmm. support for blacks. That don't just happen just out of the blue. He was connecting with people. They made him feel special. They made him feel good. And that's why he reacted the way he did. So at the very end, I want to make sure I give, you know, the hate group phone number and where people can go if they know anybody.
Do you have
that's,
it?
Yes. Anybody that is, you know, acting on things like that. Friends. Because guess what? Friends see stuff before anybody else does. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he had young people that he knew that knew exactly what he was going to do. We have to start saying and doing something.
But
we
you know what? Keep quiet. Some people, because they are obligated to love you, won't say nothing.
That's
because
true.
It's like, dang, I don't want to hurt.
That's my girl. I can't say nothing to her.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. That obligated love, it will hurt every time. Yep, it will hurt. Right. That's why it's so important to have the highest form of love.
And that's
you got to give them
it.
God.
Yes.
You have to.
So even in that, having an obligation to love someone, let's say you're my girl, but I see some things that's going on, then how would you tell somebody about, like, let's say the hotline? Let's say you my girl. You see some things that's kind of off with me. How would you recommend to do that?
Well, if I see something going on and you're making comments that are threatening, that are aggressive, that, you know, you hate your boss, you wish your boss was, you know, not alive or whatever.
Yeah.
Then as your friend, I'm going to call a number to say, hey, I have a friend I'm very concerned about. You know, I just want us to kind of, y'all to keep an eye, you know what I mean? And then I'm going to, if we're really good friends, I'm going to reach out to your family, like your mom, your dad, people, your husband, people close to you, and say, hey, look, I'm getting concerned. She's using words. Her actions have been very aggressive, and what she's saying really bothers me. Mm. So I'm going to do something. But a lot of people, they're not like probably us, so we're going to go do something because we're at a place where we're not afraid to act and help other people. That's why we're here. We want to help people.
I think
people.
It's because a lot of times people don't know how to do that without being called a snitch, a hater, or some of those things.
That's why they have numbers, and that's why everything is confidential. Whatever you see, you can report any kind of crime. You can report anybody thinking about committing suicide. You can report anybody that's abusing their children. All that is confidential, and why not? You should do it. You got to speak up because you can save these people lives that died. Right. Somebody saw something. This kid, somebody saw something where they could have reported it sooner. Guarantee you when they do the research.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, y'all, we're going to say this, and our time is drawn now because we got a couple announcements that we got to get out before we get out of here.
Yes.
But it's important, y'all. I'm on here, you know, Pastor J. I mean, y'all can inbox if anybody need anybody to talk to, if you need somebody to talk to. You need somebody to just get some things off your chest. If you need somebody to listen, especially young men, you know, I'm an advocate for young men.
Yeah.
I'm gonna talk to. If you need somebody to go to court with you, if you need somebody to just stand there, if you need somebody to step in and take on the father role, I'm here. I'm here to help.
Right.
I'm here to help navigate you through these feelings, through these you know, and I wish I had somebody to tell me that when I was trying to figure some things out, I didn't know. But I'm here. But trust me, because I know how it is when you just don't know, when you just really don't know how to even express it, when you don't even know.
Right.
So listen, y'all, inbox me. Inbox Shift Movement. Our website will be up tomorrow. Shift-movement.com.
Yeah.
Go on there, put your concerns, man, and let us know how we could be a help. to young men, even your young women, man, if y'all really don't know how to navigate through some things, man, please reach out to us and we'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to talk with you. We'll be glad. And we'll be glad.
That's what Mama Pearl says. She says, when you're around someone showing hate.
Hey, Lisa, happy birthday. I'm sorry.
Happy birthday, Lisa. Mama Pearl.
My Aunt Doris is on too.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. No problem. Mama Pearl says, when you around someone showing hate, pull them to the side.
Pull them to the side.
And give them a word and pray with them.
And pray with
them. Amen.
Give them a word and pray with them.
Yes. Yeah.
That's exactly what
we
I
need,
would do.
We really, Lisa Dabney, we really need to take that, you know, as our responsibility.
I'm gonna give this line too.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this.
Yeah, okay, so go ahead.
So, you know, with this young man, it's very unfortunate. He took the lives of three innocent people, and he took his own life. It probably could have been prevented. Of course, we don't know, because we don't really know what he was going through. Obviously, he was going through something to come and kill three innocent people.
Right.
But, you know, for young people out here who are tuning in, you know, Texas has a youth helpline that can help you. You can also chat. You know, a lot of people have their phones. They don't really want to talk on the phone. They want to remain anonymous.
Right.
The number to call is 1-855-276-5656. It's a youth helpline to get help, whether you're going through mental illness, whether you're going through anything in life. That's just another way for young teens to connect. And you can chat, where you can just put what you're going through and somebody will get on the line, you know, ask to get your information, call you directly and see how they can help you and put you with the right people.
Say the number again.
The number again, guys, is 1-855-276-5656. We provide free confidential services to youth and families in Houston. This is not only for youth, but also for families. So definitely we'll put this up on our webpage for you guys to look into.
Another thing that I want to put out there too is something that we're going to start doing here at Shift is we're going to start what we call Impact Player Youth. It's a Impact Player Life Coach Academy. Now, what that is the same thing similar to what you're saying, where peers come together and we teach them how to life. We teach them through life's journey and we coach them through different life events that they're going through, different things they're dealing with, but we do it through the arts.
Yes.
So we teaching them how to express themselves positively by giving them a platform now when they are able to do that because they have people coming in as mentor life coaches teaching them.
Yes.
Then what happens is when they put on a performance, the performance is telling their story, right? And then when
beautiful,
the story
beautiful.
Is told, now they have their mother, their grandmother, people in the community out in the audience
supporting
and they're
them.
Saying, this is my story, basically. This is what I'm going through. But this is something that God has given us, and it's for the kingdom. It's because we believe different, we see different, we do different, but we have to express that. We have to know how to express ourselves positively and in a healthy manner so that because our children are crying out.
And
they're crying out, but they're not being heard.
If you're in the Houston area this Saturday, we will be at the Creole Festival.
Yes, you guys.
The Houston
come.
Creole Fest.
Yes,
Houston
yes.
Creole
Fest.
Yes.
September 16th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Great performers are going to be out there.
Food. Yes.
All of those things, you know, to get you excited about the city of Houston. Just great connection, great people. And we're definitely going to be there. Come and support us. Come say hello. Just come and give us some topics that you're thinking about, that you're maybe interested in, that you want us to do on the show. Drop a topic and we'll highlight it on the show. We'll pick a day to highlight that. So,
and we're going to definitely be out there witnessing
and
giving love and giving them Jesus.
Yes, I promise you
that we're going to be out there doing that. Giving them love and giving them Jesus.
So come come and find
them.
Come get your Jesus
come
juice.
Come to our booth
right.
and get your Jesus juice.
We're going to be out there, y'all.
You say Pastor Jay, so Pastor
right.
Jay is giving the Jesus juice.
Come
Jay.
Cedric Crane is on. That's your brother?
That's family.
Okay, got you.
All
so
right,
listen.
So, definitely.
Listen, y'all, man, when I tell y'all.
Tim John.
And if y'all can't get in touch with on that line, I promise you, email us.
Inbox us.
We will set something up because the Lord has blessed us to be getting ready. Now it's on the way.
Come
it's
on.
Gonna be a marriage and a family therapist.
Yes.
So that this coming real soon. The certification is gonna be, so we're gonna be legally licensed and certified to do what God is calling us to do. So listen, y'all.
And I'll be a counselor right there.
Yes. Yes, right.
Yeah, but listen, it's time. God has us on the move, and we are definitely talking a lot of shift. Yes. We also have an event coming up on the 21st of September where we will be doing...
Oh, yeah, September. That's right.
I was about to say, okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, bad. September the 21st. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is September. 21st. Okay. Yeah. September the 21st. We will be having another talk show. The people that came to the last event, they was like, when is the next one? We talk about real issues where you put your issues out there to us and we take those issues, we discuss them. We had an amazing time. People didn't want to go home, but that's how it usually is. Yes. So we're going to invite you out. The flyer is going to be floating around on our social media platforms. So the Creole Fest, another Creole Shift, Fest. Real Talk, live show, and other
and
things
we
to
will
come.
We'll definitely be in Atlanta real soon.
Yes, and it's all about the shift movement. So definitely come out and support and show us love.
Want to tell my sister, Lisa Dabney. Want to tell you, wish you a happy birthday, girl.
Happy birthday, Lisa.
Many more. And G Roberts is on. He's I don't know. Yeah, G Roberts.
Too Real.
Too Real. Sam's Diva.
G Robinson.
Oh yeah.
No, I'm sorry. G Roberts.
G Roberts.
Those are the two amazing ladies that I met at Sam's Club.
Oh, hey, ladies.
I'm over here passing out the flyers everywhere I go. Yeah, I don't care if I'm at the car wash. I don't care if I'm at Sam's laying my purse. Yes, yeah. And I'm like, hey, come check us out because we got something good to
talk
about.
John.
So it's so great.
Trust me, y'all, this is our first show together, but I promise you it's going to get better.
Season 3 has just begun.
So listen, y'all.
Season 3 with the 3. Too Real. Free and Jay.
That's right. Come on.
Two plus two over here means 8. And listen,
y'all. We're doubling down with all everything we got to say in here.
And then y'all can also watch this episode on Sundays at 8 o'clock on channel49tv.com.
Oh, wow. Yes.
I forgot to
tell
you that.
Yes. So repeat that one more time, Pastor Jay.
Sundays at 8 o'clock p.m. 8 p.m. I don't care where you are in the world. It comes on at 8 p.m. on channel49tv.com.
Yes.
So we're being viewed all over the world, all over the world. So listen, y'all, our time is up. We thank you, God, we honor you, God, today, because God, we know that you are love, and for your script, the word says that you love this world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, whosoever believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. So God, we thank you for sending your Son. God, you sent your Son that He may die, that we may have the gift of life, God. So we thank you right now, God, because God, we want to spread we want to spread who you are, God, to the world, God. Yes, so we thanking you right now, God. We asking you to heal any broken hearts right now, God. Heal anybody who was going through any anger, God, who was festering anything that they need to let it out, God. So we just asking you, God, that we are the catalyst to help them let it out so that you can increase inside of them, God. So we thank you right now, God, because we desire to be different but yet impactful. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you for everyone who came on and viewed with us tonight. Listen, we are here to lift love above the hate.
My Aunt Doris is on. We didn't give you a shout out.
Let's lift love above the hate. And until next Tuesday, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, I'm your girl, Lady Free.
I'm your boy, Pastor Jay.
And I'm Allie Too Real.
Hey.
Thanks for watching.